Father, in the name of Jesus, we do thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've richly given to us through the works of redemption. I do submit my spirit to the Spirit of the living God, that out of these vessels shall flow forth wisdom, and dematerializing every manner of ignorance, shunning off every manner of confusion. I pray, God, that in this light we shall walk, bounce, and live, and enjoy the redemption work of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered, that is Jesus, and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. Therefore God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. When you look at this explanation of Jesus, Jesus explained that Moses in his law permitted them to put away wives because of the hardness of their hearts, their unyielding nature. And this means that there was a request from their hearts before Moses, and Moses permitted them because of their hardness of heart. It is evident that Moses wrote concerning the hardness of heart, and that is what Jesus is explaining in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3. And when you look at verse 4 and 5, he answered and said to them, have you not read? These are the teachers of the law. He's asking, have you not read? Because they were teaching people concerning what Moses had written, that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female. So Jesus, in response to their question about putting for a man to put away his wife, is telling them from the beginning. Now, in this beginning, when we read the Bible, we find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, which Jesus is quoting, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he. Male and female created he them. Then when we look at Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one thing, one flesh. So this word beginning, in the beginning, it was not so. It is better explained that in the first or before time, preeminence, and it is used for judges. This implies that there are permitted terms in the scriptures to qualify the origination or the beginning of something. So Jesus was saying, in this circumstance, before everything, this was the circumstance. And he's saying that putting away one's wife or divorce was not God's design of marriage. It was not God's initial intention when it comes to marriage. So Moses' law reflects that his decision to allow them to put away a wife or to divorce was based on their hardness of heart. So Moses reflected that the state of man's heart, which had changed after Genesis chapter 1 and 2, is what caused him to make that law or instruction. In Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So when you look at God saying, my spirit shall not strive with man, it implies my spirit shall not judge together with man. And you find this is what he spoke in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God yet the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. This is what Paul is explaining in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about the gospel, but if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost. Paul is explaining Genesis chapter 1, and he say, chapter 2, he's saying, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face. So he's saying in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Paul is explaining to us when he's saying darkness is upon the face of the earth, and God said, let there be light. God spoke. How do we minister the gospel? By speaking, by preaching, uttering it out. This is a good example, because when you look at verse 6, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Commanded light to shine out of darkness. He was not referring, when you look at that, you find that in Genesis, he was not referring to the sun, moon, and the stars, or the creation story, because he's explaining there's a glorious gospel of Christ, which is the light that shines in the hearts of men, verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which is the message which we preach, verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So the darkness has to do with the heart of man, which is the state of man without the gospel. And this is what John explains in John chapter 1, when you read from verse 1 all the way to verse 9, up to verse 14, you'll find it's talking about Jesus Christ. In John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So this life that was in Christ is the light of men. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of men, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel in him was life. And this life was the light of men. So the life that was in Christ, which has become the light of men, is what Paul says, we preach. For God commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. So in him was life, John chapter 1 verse 4, and this life was the light of men. That light which was the life of men, it is the light, the glorious gospel that shines out of darkness. Verse 5 of John chapter 1 verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended. God called light out of darkness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. So you find that John is explaining something important. It is easier for us to miss it. When you look at John chapter 1 verse 9, that was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. That is the true light. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. What is that light? That true light, which is the glorious gospel. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is then is the message which we have heard of him. Declare unto you that God is light, in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, Son of God, cleanses us from all sin. And this is what Jesus is saying in John chapter 8. I am the light of the world, verse 12. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have light of life. As long as, John chapter 9, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He calls light out of darkness. John chapter 1 verse 5, and this light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Verse 9, John chapter 1 verse 9, that was the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. I am the light of the world. So it is important for us to come to this realization that from Paul's explanation in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the gospel of Christ is the light of God. When man believes the message, he receives the same light and is no longer in darkness. Whoever believes, whoever walks, he will walk in light. So when a man believes and receives this gospel, he's no longer in darkness, but in the light of the Lord. And that is why he's a child of God, or a child of light. For we were sometimes darkness, but now are light in the world. Walk as children of light. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 4. Walking as children of light. Let your light so shine. Now, it's making a lot of sense when you now see the word light in scriptures. Why is it that the writers or the people who are inspired of the Holy Spirit spoke about light? Then you find the synoptic gospel or the account gospels, the book of eyewitness accounts, the four gospels, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they are actually explaining what is it that is called light, that Moses said, and God said, let there be light. What was the intention of Moses? It was about this knowledge that is in Christ Jesus, which is the life of men. When you look at the word darkness, darkness is actually the state of man who is yet to believe the gospel. So Moses wrote in the law to them because of the unyielding or a hardened heart. The nature of their heart was rejecting the message. It was a response to rejection in their hearts towards the message. So when Jesus is telling the disciples, Moses told you so because of your hardened heart, is because of your rejecting of the message. Now, when you read John chapter 5, it makes sense. Verse 39. Up to 45, Jesus is having a conversation. But he says, you search the scriptures thinking in them you have eternal life, yet they testify about me. So it means this message that they were reading in scripture was specific, a testimony about Jesus Christ, and that testimony was very clear concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, concerning his suffering and entry into glory. And believing in that message is what gives us everlasting life, is what gives us the light, is what makes us the children of light. But the Pharisees were not willing to believe in that. John writes in 5 John 5:38, that the Father has testified about me. The scriptures testify about me. So their hardness of heart is because they rejected the message. And that is the point where you find we struggle to be generous because we are rejecting the message that giving or generosity is an attitude. It's a light attitude. Stinginess or being in Kenya here, we say konobirika, in you being selfish, not generous, is an indication that you are rejecting the message. When you look at Hebrews chapter 3 from verse 14, it says something very important. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. So hearing the word and not acting or not responding to it is rebellion. And the writer is saying, if you hear, remember the audience of the writer are the Jews. And he's telling them, if you hear, don't be like our forefathers. We'll look at that in a minute. Verse 16 of John, Hebrews chapter 3. For who, having heard, rebelled. So rebellion is a result of rejecting the message. You've heard it. You've rejected the message. Look, for who, having heard, rebelled. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they will not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. So unbelief is a sign of rejecting the message. So Moses is telling the disciples, Moses is teaching the message, but the children of Israel are rejecting the message. And that is why the writer of Hebrews says, today, don't be like them. Today, if you hear, right now, if you listen to me, if you're hearing this message, do not harden your heart. Do not rebel. Do not fall in the place of unbelief. I'm not giving because of anything other than it is my character and attitude. I'm yet to find somebody who's given with clear knowledge or an attitude of giving lacking anything. I am a testimony myself. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, this promise remains. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Short of what? Rest. What was the rest about? Today, if you hear his voice, today, if you hear his message. So the rest is a result of us responding to the message. So how do we come short of that rest? By not believing the message in its entirety. And I'm saying this because we have so much conflict on board. People fighting left, right, center. You should give, you should not give. Oh, you should just give to the poor. I take my money to the poor. I don't give. It's because of your stinginess of act. You are looking for an avenue to justify your act. The moment you start saying, I'm using my money to support the poor, and you're not supporting the cause of the gospel, then you are missing up. You're missing up big time. You say, oh, God looks at the act and everything. Do you know, even unbelievers give to the poor, which is a good act. But you as a believer, you have the responsibility of funding the gospel. I like a pastor friend of mine who once said, much money, when Jesus resurrected, much money was used by the Pharisees to cover the truth. That is the same way money is required to dispense, to share, to have the truth out there. So you giving towards the cause of the gospel is the highest level of understanding and giving that you can give. Because even an unbeliever, even a person who is not into godly things, gives to the poor, gives to the widow. What is the difference between you and the person is because I know the reason why I'm giving to the poor is the scriptures have instructed. But I have a major responsibility of funding the gospel or funding the kingdom agenda. having the things of God move forward. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said. So I saw in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. This is Psalms 95 verse 11. They swore in my wrath, it shall not enter heaven, shall not enter my rest. So it is important for you to come to this realization that rejection was the rejection of the gospel to these people, that they rejected the message. And that is what, unfortunately, we do. We do nowadays, consciously or subconsciously, we are rejecting the message. When you find a minister of the gospel telling you, give towards the cause, because the giving, the rejection here, you find God, when they are exiting Egypt, God empowered them with goodies, with gold, with silver. The reason why is that they might go and worship God. Remember, the entire time they were in the wilderness, they were not giving offerings because there was an assignment that was created for them to worship God. And they said, we want a God that we can see. So they used what God had given them for a wrong assignment. And most of the time, God has blessed you with 100 shillings until you come to the level of your conscience. In this 100 shillings, I want to celebrate my God. I have the reverence of God in me. We've looked before that they brought tithes, offerings, and they sat down in a place God had chosen so that they can eat before the Lord, for them to have the reverence, the fear, the holy fear towards God. And that is what you should do, my brother, my sister, as you listen to me. In that 100 shillings, you should ask yourself, what is God's portion in this? I'm not giving you a percentage, because in this new relationship we have with the Father, it is not about percentage. It is about your belief. How strong is your belief to take risk in the things of God without questions, without a lot of attached conditions? So Moses wrote the law to them because of their hardness of heart, which is the rejection of the gospel. That is why Moses is calling them the faithless generation. The word did not work for them, Hebrews chapter 2, because they did not mix it with faith. Deuteronomy 32:20 says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see that their end shall be. I'll see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. Why? They did not mix the word with faith. They were hardened towards the gospel. Just as the commandments concerning divorce, Moses also spoke to them, gave them instruction in regards to the things of God. In Deuteronomy 32, and he said, I will see what their end shall be. Because of what? Their hardness of heart. It was a reflection of the selfish and self-centeredness or state of man's heart. And today, my question to you as you listen to this: how selfish and self-centeredness are you towards the things of God? How selfish are you? Have you gone out of your way to say, you know what? Irrespective of everything, I heard the gospel because somebody was selfless. He was not selfish. He empowered a minister by meeting the bills of that place, or sending this person, meeting the entirety of the bills, being used of God to supply so that I can hear the gospel. Today, I want to ask you, how many people have you deprived the access to the gospel because you're saying, I don't have enough? I don't have enough. My budget is too tight. You know, I don't trust my pastor. I don't trust that church. How many people have you denied? By the way, it is not you trusting the church. It is you trusting in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind. Lean not in your own understanding. The moment you start putting some factors, just know it's your hardness of heart trying to qualify in your own understanding. So the hardness, the instructions Moses gave because of their hardness of heart, it was to enforce the need of the Jews to care for one another, and that is particularly the Levite and the needy. And Jesus is speaking concerning this. You scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, you pay your tithe, but you've forgotten the weightier matters. So it is important for us to come to this realization that Moses gave the law to these people, instructions concerning things because of what? Their hardness of heart toward the gospel. And this reflected their state of heart, their selfishness and self-centeredness, which was tied after sin and death. Then Moses also gave the instruction to expose the consequences or how grievous their act is towards the things of God. So what enforcing the law did was to place heavy burdens, grievous to bear on men's shoulders. And that is what Jesus, in his words, he was saying, this is exactly what the Pharisees and the scribes are doing, putting heavy things on the shoulders of people because of what? Their instructions to tie people down and expose their hardness of heart towards the things of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. We glorify you for your love, God, as we continue to read and study. Let your name be glorified.